Welcome to the fellowship again this morning. It was good to be able to share together in song and praise the Lord together, worship together. And it certainly is my heart's desire that the Spirit of God will be present here this, as we go into His Word, and that He will lead and guide and direct. So we invite God's Spirit to be the one that will lead and teach and be the one that is glorified and lifted up this morning. Recognizing again that it is a great privilege and opportunity to be able to have God's Word and to be able to look into it and there find life, because I believe that there is no other place on this earth that we can find life like we can in God's Word. So I believe that we are here today in this time and this generation not by mistake. Each of us were born and live a period of time, and God placed us here. He placed us here now, and we experience life as it is given to us now. And you say, Luke, you sounds like you're just rambling on. Well, no, I'll get somewhere with this thought. But so why is it that God chose I to be living in this time, in this place, in this era of time that we're experiencing now? I mean, why wasn't I born before there were cars? And why wasn't I born before there were cell phones and that kind of thing? But I wasn't. You weren't. We were, well, at least most of us weren't born before them. But so why is it? Why are we here? What has God placed us here for? What is the purpose of life? And many of us have asked that question maybe numerous times. And we've come before the Father and said, God, what is your purpose? What is your plan for me? Why am I here? Why am I living in this stage, in this time, in this place? And I granted this morning that it is an interesting time to live in. There's a challenging time. And we talked a little bit this morning in the prayer room there about, I wonder how different it was, you know, back, was it, I guess it was Lowell and I shared, but how different was it really back in the days of Noah? Was it that there was there more sin back then than there is now? Or is there more sin now than there was back in the days of Noah? The Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I do not believe that there has been a change in evil itself. It may look different in how it is fleshed out today, but I think that when you look at the schemes of Satan and the works of the enemy, they have not changed a whole lot throughout the periods of time. He still uses the same old tricks, still uses the same old things to try and get us to be distracted from what God wants for us. And this morning, I believe that one of the things that we need to be aware of is that in the time that we're living in, the day that we're living in, that there are many things that Satan is introducing into our lives through media, through whatever other means it might be, to generate fear in our hearts, to generate a sense of instability, insecurity, a sense of things being out of control. And I am here to tell you this morning, everything is under control. Hallelujah. Everything is under the control of God Almighty. There is nothing that has escaped His attention. And I believe this morning that as we look at the last part of this, the series that I've done on rootedness, it is again that we need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, in God alone, in Him alone. Seeking and searching and finding the truths of God's Word is the only place that we will find the security that I believe is needed in the day that we're living in. Because we have not heard the end of what the enemy may have planned yet for our time. And so we live in a world that is in need of good fruit. We live in a world that is starving for good fruit. And God is calling you and I. God is calling us, the church. God is calling us to bear fruit that the world can eat from. Bear fruit that will be different in this world. That we will be people who will be able to bring life and light to the situation, bring light to conversations. That when conversations go downhill and there's fear that is being introduced, then you can stand up as a child of God and say, I know one that's in control, no matter what. I was in a conversation just recently with an individual that has concluded and is convinced in his mind, without a shadow of a doubt, that the jet streaks that you see across the sky is the government spreading viruses and stuff over the earth. How would you respond to that? How would you respond to that? You see, these are things that the enemy is planting in the hearts and minds of people to just promote fear. And so, are you secure this morning? If the jet streams that have been there ever since there have been jet engines, but okay, I'm not even gonna get into that, but just the idea that the enemy is able to fill our hearts and our minds with fear. There's a lot of talk about what is happening in Ukraine and what if China teams up with Russia and all these things that are being presented as things of fear. Is your roots deep enough to stand the storm that may be coming? Or do you find yourself listening to these things, hearing these things, and bringing these things into your heart and find yourself being fearful, like there's no way out? We're all gonna die. I have news for you. Yes, we are. You don't get out of this world alive. Hallelujah. And so therefore, whatever means God has in store for us, then we need to be rooted and we need to be grounded. We need to be firm and okay with whatever comes. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen if the roots aren't in the ground and the vine being connected and we being connected to the vine. We need to stay connected to the vine. So as I look at the last part of this series, we looked at the whole idea of planting, then the whole idea of growing, which includes cultivating and that kind of thing. And pruning was the last one we looked at. Today we're gonna look at the harvest. What are we looking for? Why do we plant things? Why do you take a plant and put it into the ground? You expect it to grow, right? Because you want it to grow and you want it to produce fruit. That's the whole idea of planting, cultivating, and pruning, is that it brings forth fruit. So are we, as we look into the mirror, are we as children of God, are we bringing forth fruit that the world can harvest? And also at the same time, Jesus said that he looks unto the fields and are white unto harvest and to pray for the laborers to go into the harvest. So there's the harvesting of souls, but there's also those of us that have been born again that are producing fruit that can be harvested by other people. I remember growing up, my dad would plant the corn, you know, we'd put the corn into the ground and it covered up and after a week or so or a couple days, whatever it was, he'd go out and start scratching around to see if the corn was sprouting, if it was going to give a plant or a stalk or not, because when you put the plant in the ground, is it actually going to grow? And I believe that one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit is that when the Holy Spirit is within you, when you are connected to the vine, there is no question, fruit will grow. When the Holy Spirit within you and you are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, and God the husbandman has pruned the vine, has pruned the branch, fruit will grow. It won't be a question about it. It will grow. You will produce fruit. And it is produced by the Holy Spirit, not you. Because the Bible said it is the fruit of the Spirit. So the plant, getting back to when Dad would plant the corn and it would grow, and after a while the little corn stalk would come up, and after a while it was this high, and then we had a little Alice Chalmers G tractor with the cultivator on, and I spend hours cultivating corn with that little Alice Chalmers G. And the reason for cultivating it was to help it to grow, the ground to loosen up, and for moisture to come up from the bottom and supply the plant was the idea of cultivating. So we took care of the plant, and in the end, at the end of the plant would grow, and it would grow nice ears, and then we'd hook up the corn picker and we'd pick the corn, and we had nice ears of corn to feed the horses. That was the end. That was the result of the crop. That was the result. That was the harvest. And I believe that to all of us this morning, God wants there to be fruit that can be harvested to the honor and glory of Him and to His kingdom. And it comes from all of us. But we need to be careful that we plant the seed on ground that is prepared. I had a cousin that a couple years ago was farming, and he had rented some ground some miles away from his home farm. And he filled the corn planter up with $600 worth of seed corn. So it was a little while ago. I don't know how long that would have been for $600 worth of corn. But hooked up the tractor, the planter, filled up with the hoppers with the corn, and down the road over to the other farm to where he was going to plant the corn. He got there, and there was no seeds left in the hopper. He had somehow left something engaged that all the seed was scattered from between the home farm and the rented ground. That seed's not going to grow. So be careful where you put, where your seed is planted. Make sure the ground is ready. Make sure the place is right for the seed to grow. There's planting, growing, pruning, and the purpose is the harvest. That's the purpose. Just because a person, here's a quote that I have, I forget where I got it. I should have written that down. Just because a person becomes saved does not mean, let me read again. Just because a person becomes saved does not mean the end of God's expectation for us. We plant seeds to please the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, so that we might receive a harvest that is eternally holy and pleasing to the Lord. Let me read again. Just because a person becomes saved does not mean the end of God's expectation for us. We plant seeds to please the Holy Spirit, not the flesh, so that we might receive a harvest that is eternally holy and pleasing to the Lord. And the scripture that I'm going to read from this morning is Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. And that's one of the scriptures that we'll be getting into. And before we get into that, I might look at Galatians 5 there a little bit, but that will be where we'll be spending a lot of our time. God is the master gardener whose ultimate goal is to produce a great harvest in and through each and every person. Do you believe that this morning? God is the master gardener whose goal is to produce a great harvest in and through each and every person that comes to follow Him, and everyone that's born for that matter, and those that are, especially that are born again. There is a harvest of spiritual fruit that can be developed in the life of a believer. There is also a harvest of souls that will be the result of God's work in individuals. So we get to be part of producing fruit, but also part of harvesting souls that have been called to the kingdom of God. Think about it. If you allow God to work in your life, you can be part of a spiritual harvest in a world that will have an eternal impact. A spiritual harvest in this world that will have an eternal impact. God wants to develop spiritual gifts inside of you that will cause you to look more and more like Jesus Christ. This is His purpose. This is His goal. This is what He wants for us, is for us to look more like Him. And therefore, the fruits that we produce that come out are for His honor, for His glory. Exercise those gifts that God has placed in you. Each of us have been given different responsibilities. God has given us different gifts. And I believe that as we live and walk and work in those gifts that God has given us, then the fruit will be something that is useful for the kingdom of God. Let's read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. It says, "Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I believe this here scripture is pretty clear, cut and dried, and to the point, is the fact that in verse 7 it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And I believe it's important this morning that we understand that what we sow is what we will reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap spirit. And so that's an important concept that we need to embrace this morning. And to bring that to reality is the fact that when you plant an orange seed for an orange tree, you get an orange tree, and it produces oranges. And we all know that there is different fruits that the trees produce. There's oranges, there's mangoes, there's plums, there's bananas, there's apples, there's pears, and there's tomatoes. And so you could go on and on with fruits that are produced, and they are what they are planted, and they become what the seed is. And so therefore, the harvest we can look for is what is directly related to what has been planted. Has it been planted to the flesh, or has it been planted to the Spirit? And the same thing, we cultivate and we prune and everything else, and we expect the outcome to be a beautiful fruit with the trees and stuff. But the same thing in our spiritual lives, if we prune and bring to help those things to grow. Just jumping back a couple of verses in chapter 5, just looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and it's a familiar scripture that we are very familiar with. It says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, which are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And one of the beautiful things is that God has provided His Word. God has provided the Bible, has provided a mirror that we can look into and reflect and see what is happening. So when you walk up to the mirror and you look into the mirror shows not, the mirror doesn't decide what to show you. The mirror shows you what you are. And I like the comment in our Sunday school book, I think it was last Sunday's lesson, said you don't break the mirror because of what you see in it. We would like to do that sometimes, but that doesn't fix the problem. You don't break the mirror. You don't get rid of the Bible because of what you see in it, what is being taught speaks to you, or you realize a flaw, you realize there's an area of sin in your life. That's what the Bible is for. The Bible is to reflect back what you look like in the eyes of God. And so it's a beautiful thing that we have this scripture. And so the Spirit, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I ask you this morning, how are you doing? When you look into the mirror, is there fruit hanging from your branches? love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And there are more and more opportunities to share this fruit in the world that we live in today than ever before, I believe. There is an opportunity to share love like never before. Is your life a demonstration of the love that God has intended for you to be? Is your life bringing forth the fruit of joy? Or you find yourself just being grumbling and complaining and just can't find a joyful thing about the day? These all are areas that we struggle with once in a while. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the Bible is talking about this being something that there's days that you're not joyful, there's days that you don't feel as much peace. But is there a general good fruit that is in your life? Peace, long-suffering, kindness. Wow, kindness. Just doing something kind. Is it in your heart? Do you find it in your heart? Do you feel in your spirit that God is leading you just to be kind to somebody? Just to speak a word of kindness, to do an act of kindness. When's the last time you just randomly did an act of kindness for someone? Sitting on the airplane waiting to fly to Sarasota, there was people coming on, and Karen and I got on a little before some of the people coming to that area of the plane, and as people were coming back up the aisle, I was watching up the aisle, and I observed how many people there were that struggled with their suitcase, their carry-on, trying to get it up in the luggage rack, and they were too short, or they were elderly, or they were, people just sat and watched. People just sat and watched. Once in a while, you would see somebody get up and help to put the baggage up, put the suitcase up in the luggage rack. Just a random act of kindness. Just a random act of kindness. I am asking, are we demonstrating that? Are we bringing forth fruit? Or is there fruit to harvest from our lives in acts of kindness? Goodness. Goodness. Find yourself sharing the fruit of goodness with the world around you? Do you find yourself sharing that? Do you find yourself sharing the fruit of faithfulness? Are you sharing the fruit of faithfulness with the world that is living around you? Are they able to harvest the fruit of faithfulness? Are they able to harvest the fruit of gentleness from you? Do you find yourself being gentle? Or is it just, here, get out of my way? You know? Do you find yourself being gentle? What about self-control? What about self-control? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, I couldn't help myself. I just lost it. Well, maybe you did. Maybe it's something you need to repent of. But do you find yourself losing it all the time? Just living on the edge. Just not producing the fruit of self-control. How is it with you? Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the fruits that generate what people want around us. The world has fruits of its own. And these are some of the fruits that come from human nature, come from the flesh. When seeds are sown to the flesh, sexual immorality, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. There's no way that you can doctor it up. It is not a fruit of the Spirit. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. Do you know what the Bible says that? It slipped my mind. Is this a sin of witchcraft?
Rebellion.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Do you find yourself being rebellious? Do you find that you are just naturally rebellious, whether to authorities or God's word or whatever it might be? The Bible says it's as a sin of witchcraft. Hatred. What about hatred? What about jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, just going after everything? It's all about me. Nobody else matters. It's all about me. Those are things, those are fruits of the flesh. They are dissensions, fractions. The Bible says that someone that sows discord in the brotherhood, that's one of the things that God hates, is that sows discord. Do you find that you just find yourself doing that kind of thing? But what for fruit? What for fruit is it that is coming? What for fruit are people able to pick from your branches? To say it plainly, if a farmer or a gardener plants an apple tree, he will get apples. He hopes to get apples. That's what he plants it for. That's what he puts it in the ground for. Of a strawberry plant, he tends to get strawberries. A number of years ago, I made a comment just similar to this in our during the service, that I would be astonished if I went out and my maple tree had apples hanging on it. Monday morning, I went out and my maple tree had apples hanging on it. I think he's here this morning. But I went out and they were hung up by paper clips or whatever it was, but that's good stuff. I love it. That's good stuff. Yeah. There is a fruit. Jesus said, and this is what is most important. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, if you do not abide in the vine, you do nothing. And trust me, when you go out to pick fruit, when you go out to your pear tree, when you go out to your peach tree or whatever it is, you will recognize when a fruit is rotten. You will recognize it. The world will recognize if your fruit is rotten. It may look good on this. You may be able to paint a good picture. You may be able to paint a picture of fruit that looks good, but the world will know when your fruit is rotten. Why? Because there's no spirit. There's no life to it. There's no spirit in it. And it is by the spirit that the fruit is anything worthwhile. For without it, we can do nothing. If we want to reap healthy fruit, we need to sow healthy fruit and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to get fresh fruit. That people will recognize and respond to the fruit. Going back again to Galatians chapter 6, it says very clearly in verse 7, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And I find it interesting that do not be deceived, God is not mocked. What are ways that we try to mock God? In other words, I believe that there are ways that we try to act out fruit that is not real. And it is not walking in the Spirit. It's not Spirit-led. It's not filled with the Spirit. It is not grown by the Spirit. When it is grown of the flesh, it's a mockery to God. I believe that is important, again, that we recognize that whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You cannot sow to the flesh. The world might be telling you this morning that homosexuality is okay. They might be telling you this morning that it's okay to choose your gender. They might be telling you this morning that it's okay to be divorced and remarried. They might be telling you today that there are many things that the world is telling you that is not true. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption, in verse 8. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then verse 9 catches my attention. It says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let me read that again. And let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And that's my challenge to you this morning as a body of believers. Don't lose heart. The world would like to discourage us, but don't lose heart. Continue to do good. Continue to grow fruit that is available for the world to partake of. And then it goes on in verse 10 and says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. I believe that in this here growing fruit, in this here reaping, in this here part of it is in doing good to others, and especially to those of the household of faith, especially to those of your brotherhood, especially to those of the kingdom of God. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And it is in that that our fruit then is able to produce more and more as we do good to each other. Everyone wants delicious fruit at the time of the harvest. Everyone wants delicious fruit at the time of the harvest, but few are willing to do what's necessary along the way. When we do our part, God will do His. We have a role to play in it, though. And although the way may be difficult sometimes, may be challenging, may be testing, but it's possible through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So throughout this series, we've talked about the reality of needing to be rooted, planted, growing, pruned, and it produces a harvest. Where do you find yourself? Maybe you're here this morning, you've just recently been planted. Maybe you're here and you're currently in a season of growth and health. Things are going good. You're growing. You're being nurtured. Things are looking good. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a season of pruning, where God is pruning some things off, and every clip, just you feel the pain of it. And are you here this morning maybe experiencing the richness of the harvest? So I believe that the seasons that God places in our life, similar to the growing seasons and things that plants experience, is the same that we experience in our spiritual lives. There are times that we go through times of needing to be watered. There are times that we need to go through times where we need to be cultivated and just taken care of and just nourished along. And that's what God has called the body together for. That's what God has called the body of believers together, to nurture each other, to care for each other, and to help each other along. In the time when my brother or sister is being pruned, am I there to help them, or do I go out and blow it around the world? Do I gossip about it? Do I talk about it? When God is taking the time and the opportunity to prune one of my brothers or sisters, what is my compassion? What is my heart for that person? What is my heart for that person in the time that they're being pruned? Are there brothers and sisters sitting next to you this morning that have delicious fruit from which you are able to partake of and to grow of? Kindness, goodness, gentleness, those kind of things. Are they sitting beside you this morning? Are you able to harvest the fruit? Are they, what kind of feeling and what kind of understanding do you have of why God has called us together, why God has brought us together in this time, in this era, at this place, for what purpose? To honor and glorify Him. To honor and glorify Him. And that happens when the roots are set, the vine is growing, the branches are growing, and they're pruned and there's fruit. Then it's to the honor and glory of God through His Spirit. Just keep praying that God will reveal to you, to me, the Spirit that He wants for us as a fellowship of believers, to be able to fellowship together the way that God intended the church to be, because we are living in a challenging time. We are living in a challenging time. There is no doubt that Satan's goal is to destroy the church. Satan's goal is to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the church. That's his plan. That's his purpose. He will use any means necessary to destroy the church. Are we going to be rooted? Are we going to be grounded? are we going to bear fruit to the honor and glory of God? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity again to look into your word. God, we recognize again the warning in the scripture that says that whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be able to embrace the need we have to rely on your spirit to bring forth fruit that is to your honor and to your glory. Father, I pray that we would be a fruitful people, that we'd be a fruitful church, that we'd be a fruitful testimony to the community that we live in and to the people that we work with and to the people that we live with, Lord, that there would be fruit that would be able to be harvested to your honor and to your glory. So Father, again this morning, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for the way that you have worked out your plan in giving your son Jesus to die for us. And if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, who has not heeded the call to salvation, Lord, recognizing that need, Father, I pray that this morning you would place it upon the heart of anyone here this morning who is not a child of yours, a follower of you, that you would open their heart, that you would open their mind and be able to minister to them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your spirit would receive the honor and the glory. Father, I thank you this morning that we have opportunity to fellowship together. Lord, I thank you for the meal that has been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it, that you would cleanse it, strengthen our bodies with it. Father, I pray for the fellowship around the meal. I pray that it would be to your honor and to your glory. Help us, Lord, to be able to share fruit with each other that would nourish and would help along whatever the need might be this morning. I thank you, Lord, for those that took time this morning to prepare the food. I pray that you would bless them for it. And I pray that our fellowship, again, would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to lead us in song.